Carried. Our next item is Purdue Agri Recycle, conditional use number 1314, revised site plan on Route 13A.
Gentlemen, this is a revised site plan for a 40 by 100 foot addition to the rear of the existing pellet plant. The addition meets the setback requirements by the zoning code. The addition is similar in design to the existing building with the same exterior walls and roofing. The addition will house equipment to produce BB-sized pellets. The conditional use was approved on December 21st, 1999, with 18 conditions. The conditions of approval do not limit any additional structures. And if the revised site plan is approved, final approval could be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals. This is the pellet plant that's between Laurel and Blades, mm-hmm. back by the railroad, and it's on the rear of the building.
Good. Mr. Chairman, my motion for Purdue AgriCycle conditional use number 1314 is for approval as a revised site plan.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve conditional use number 1314 revised site plan on Route 13A for Purdue Agri Recycle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
That was subject to the final being subject to the staff receiving.
That's correct.
That's what you said, right?
Yes. Yeah. Weren't you paying attention?
Our next item is subdivision 2006-14, Gray Properties LLC, Heritage Point Subdivision Amended Condition.
Gentlemen, the developer is requesting that sidewalks be deleted from this subdivision. The subdivision is a 38-lot standard subdivision with lots containing at least 3/4 acre each. The conditions of approval required sidewalks on at least one side of all streets, and their final record plan depicted that requirement. The request is made due to the fact that the sidewalks are going to affect the drainage from each lot since the sidewalks are located along the swale. The Conservation District has advised the department that the removal of the sidewalks and its impervious surface will not affect the stormwater management facilities and has no objections to the sidewalks being eliminated. The County Engineering Department has also indicated they have no objections to the elimination of the sidewalks in this project. And I have a letter from Gray Properties LLC, Jerry Gray member. I have the letter from the Sussex Conservation District, which I just summarized. And I have a memo from the County Engineering Department Director of Public Works on behalf of engineering.
Well, I think with it being 3/4 acre lots, it bothers me less than it would if it were a tighter subdivision maybe. And sounds like it's an engineering issue to me. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I have a problem if it was on the final site plan, the sidewalks. The engineer should have designed it in accordance with that, and he should have taken into account the drainage issues as part of that. I'm like you. The fact that it's 3/4 acre lots doesn't bother me as much. If it was a cluster, I'd, be jumping up and down. I just have concerns that if whatever commission or whoever was on the commission was involved in that process and they felt that sidewalks should either be part of it or if it was proffered by the applicant, I don't know which, but.
Mr. Lank, did they say what the impediment was? I mean, are they just saying that the sidewalks are?
I don't have copies of the letter, but I can read them. They're all short. The letter from the applicant states, I am writing to request that due to hardship and aesthetic reasons, the sidewalks that were part of the final site plan mentioned above or approved by the county should be removed from the final site plan. The request is made due to the fact that sidewalks are going to adversely affect the drainage for each of the subdivision lots that has a sidewalk in front of it. These sidewalks are in the center of the swale and interfere with the drainage from the lots. It said sidewalks were lowered and the drainage could run right across the sidewalk and eventually under the sidewalk, causing said sidewalks to erode. Also, sidewalks were placed as indicated on the final site plan, and the homeowners also had the sidewalk placed in front of their house. The aesthetics will be distorted. The one from the Conservation District says that they've considered their request for the removal of the sidewalks. The removal of the sidewalks in its impervious area from the subdivision would not cause any impact on the stormwater management facilities. Therefore, the district has no objection to the removal of the sidewalks. And Engineering Public Works State, be advised the division has no objection to elimination of the requirement of sidewalks. The division positions that the requirement is at the discretion of the commission and staff.
Sounds like Stanwater Creek to me.
Well, one thing I would note is that there's not a requirement for sidewalks in the code, and it's something that we've discussed and should be made a part of the record, and it may be when we do that, we establish a certain number of lots, a certain size lots, average, or something, way to say why they have to have sidewalks. And it's difficult in all the projects that have swales. It's not a problem if you have a curb and gutter street and then place a sidewalk, because that's typical streetscape like you see in town somewhere, where there may be a sidewalk right next to the road curb, or there may be grass separating the sidewalk from the road curb. So, but swales are difficult. I don't heard it quite that far that it's at the bottom of the swale, but
it's real difficult if you're sidewalks in the middle of the swale.
Or else it should be placed on the lots within the subdivision. Like you do in town, most of the sidewalks are on people's land. It's not in the right of way in town.
I thought one of our considerations that we did and thought about when we were putting the conditions of sidewalks was for the safe vehicular movement. My vote on this would be to stay consistent and require the sidewalk to be there if it has to be located up, inside the lot line out of the swale, if it's truly going to cause those drainage and engineering and stability issues. I would be wanting to stay consistent and have the sidewalk there.
Swales exist primarily, I suspect, to drain the road. Not the lot, necessarily.
So that'd be road, swale, sidewalk.
That's the typical, and I understand where they're coming from. I just thought it was amusing that their engineer said because the sidewalk's in the bottom of the swale, it's there because that's how he designed it, That doesn't make a lot of sense to me either.
Well, in that case, the runoff would be exaggerated because of the free flow along the sidewalk.
It would all be in the bottom of the swale.
There have been some problems on some projects whereby because of the slope of the swale on either side, whether it's next to the road or on the lot side, the angle is a little difficult for some folks and kids on bicycles to ride that because it's tilted. So, I think it was a gentleman present on behalf of the applicant, if you would like to hear his comment. Thoughts on raising his hand.
All right, sir. Come on up. Give us your name. Tell us the good news.
Jerry Gray with Gray Properties. I have, if you'd like to just show these, I took some colored pictures and things to show you what's happening and what has happened for each one of you to look at.
Are they all the same? Like they're all sets?
They're all the same. I made copies for everyone to go across. I understand about the engineering and what you're speaking of and the different problems that come into it. We've worked through the project. We're in a first phase of this project. It's 38 lots, and we're doing it in three phases is what we're doing it into. So we have the first 14 lots, and this is the first section, the first phase that we're doing now. And the swales, as we, the engineering part, the plans, they look good, and the sidewalk looked good when we approved it, and when we come to it, I had no problem with it, and everyone, was just fine. But when I got out on the job and they started putting the swales into all the specifications and everything, we ended up with a situation where the sidewalk is taking up most of the front yard. Now, what's happening, it's a 3/4 acre lot, but the sewer in the back is requiring most of the lot, and the houses are set up front 35 foot from the road itself. And in that 35 foot, as you see the examples of the pictures here, I put some The first home has been sold and the first home is there, so that's the one I'm using as an example to what's going to be happening all the way through the development and what happened at the storm water pond when we got there. The public works has been working with me, and we've worked things out, and we've got the storm water working well. We got everything the way it's supposed to be, but I'm ending up with a situation on the storm water where it's been broken up by swales. When there was one of the swale in front of the storm water pond, which runs down the side of the road, and with putting the swale there, the swale runs down to the pond itself and breaks up on both ends of the pond. So there that's one of the things that I have a problem with on the getting a sidewalk to even work, and it's on the side of a swale, which it's sideways. It is not running, you know, the way it has. We have to go through quite a situation to get it corrected, to get the sidewalk to run flat and the way it's got to be working. And when you get to the swale on the third page is showing the center of the swale, the bottom of the swale, where I have to put my culverts at the driveways. That's where my driveways are going. And the bottom of that picture is my driveway, actually, where the culvert comes right across there. And that's the center of the swale. The sidewalk would run right down into the side of the swale and right on around in front of the stormwater pond itself. The second page shows the sidewalk. Now, the other thing is the utility easement area with the electric and the phone and all that. There's a 10-foot utility area there, which is we're proposing to put a sidewalk in there. We're not supposed to be putting a sidewalk in that area, as far as I know. And if it isn't allowed to be put there, that's 22 foot from the house. You got like when he put his sidewalk in, he looked, and when I told him he was going to have another sidewalk out front if I couldn't get it taken care of, he wasn't very happy about having two sidewalks, and his front yard being cut down to 22 feet is all he's got in the front yard. If we did stick with the situation of the sidewalks, it would put us in a situation where the sidewalk would actually be 10 foot from the other sidewalks that they're going to use for front sidewalks coming out. So from that part, and then the other part is Public Works. So if you have a sidewalk, that it should run consistently all the way through the project, and then therefore we've got bridges to build and different things to build at each end of the pond, where we have now we have the swales that work with your Public Works and with your people that they were just fine with it, and we have an elevation in the front that comes from the house that actually runs, the swale runs from the house itself out to down into the swale on a slope right on down. So the water's going to be running. So if we have a sidewalk there, it's going to be a problem anyway with the washout, and then we're going to have to deal with that through the time, process of time. And when you hit the road, the driveway going in, we've got the same thing. You're up on a bump and then down in. And we've looked at all these situations, and I just determined it's a hardship on us, you know, to do that, to make it happen. And I went looking around the county to just see different projects that have worked with swales and how they have worked with them. And I didn't even look, but right next door, Sandy Ridge has got it. The same thing, they're dealing with the swales and how to deal with them and coming out there without a sidewalk. And it works pretty well. I mean, it looks like it's working good with that situation. And there was even Shiloh Woods and Shiloh Farms later on that have worked out with their different swales in there, so they've made it work with the swales. And the swales are all to the plans. Everything's to the plan. It really didn't. It's just where that sidewalk ends up when you get out in the field and you start working it and start having to work to get the sidewalk to work out. And it just doesn't. It just doesn't work out for us too pleasantly or too well. It's not a matter if it's just a few things that we can make the correction and do it and make it work aesthetically and everything else for the people. But we've got customers that, you know, as you know, what things are now, and I know that don't have anything to do with the actual part, but you've got things now with customers that it's hard enough as it is with everything else we have to go through with the real estate and with getting the lot sold and everything else. I can't move the house back because of the sewer, and I'm pretty well got a 35-foot front yard, and I'll end up...
Keep saying sewer. You really mean septic system?
Septic.
Right.
Septic,
and that's what I'm saying. Are they standard systems?
Well, most of them are standard systems. There's a couple in there that are not standard systems. They're the LPPs systems, and there's a couple mounds in there also.
Well, on a three-quarter acre lot, though, you're being jammed by a standard septic system?
Well, you've got reserve area, Denrec. The areas that everything I've got is that the systems with the reserve area takes up right on up to the house.
Yeah, the real problem with this is that you've got a swale that's 15 feet wide. You know, gentlemen, there's an old saying in politics, and no matter what you're talking about money, okay? I think the vision we have when we require sidewalks is we have the vision of what you see on a city street, which is a road, a curb, then either some grass and then a sidewalk, or the curb and the sidewalk are integral and are all one, where the water runs down the road along the curb and either goes into a culvert and a pipe and then goes on out to the storm system. When you have a swale situation like this, this is what you get, okay? The real issue is that, and I'm not finding fault with this because it's the less expensive way to do it, you know, that having the 15 foot wide space is very shallow so that you can mow it, and you know, it's not a ditch and all that stuff. But these things take land, you know, they do take land, you know, so that's kind of what we're confronted with. And I'm not saying these comments either for or against. It's just sort of the way that you know, it's playing out. I mean, I don't. You know.
There was one other
helpful
issue that I had.
Helpful comments.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just telling the commissioner, the chairman, it's helpful comments.
I'm sorry. The another issue is the wells in the front of the property, in the space that you have there. I have to put a 4-inch well in there. And that's going to be in the radius of where Denrec has it already set out for me to put the well.
Who's making you put a 4-inch well in?
Well, I'm putting that in only because of the levels of the water tables and so forth. I don't want to run into any problem with any of my customers that do that.
What's the approximate road frontage of these individual lots? 100 to 125 feet, perhaps?
They're running at least 100 and 125. I'd have to.
Then the depth runs about, what, 280 to 310, depending
on that?
They're
pretty deep back there, yeah. They run back.
Deep.
Some of them are on the curves or on fanned out and things like that. But I would say 100 and some feet, 114 feet, and then they run back, some of them 300 feet back, I believe, on the corners.
That's why that 300 approximately foot depth makes me think that there's adequate area for, you know, septic reserve and all if the homes were moved back. But I'm not going to try to...
I have all the Denrec, you know, things. We had to get that all done through Denrec, and they sent them back. And they actually used with the reserve and everything else. It was the whole thing in the back. It's to do with the soils, I suppose, is what it was about. But the soils out there are sandy, good. I mean, the drainage is... it's good drainage. It's good drainage soil, with sandy soil and all that. And they don't, with the size of the pond and everything we have out there, they don't think there ever be a problem at all with the drainage, way it's set up and the way it's going and the way the swales are set. And they think it's pretty well, you know, plenty big and all that.
And the deal with the utility easement is not that you can't put the sidewalk there, but in the event that the utility company has to get to the stuff, you run the risk of your sidewalk being part of it being torn up or whatever.
Is a 15-foot swale common? I mean, is it done for mowing purposes?
For a swale, the whole idea of a swale is you don't want it to be deep enough so that anybody can drown, for one thing. You want to be able to mow it. You know, you don't really want it to be a very deep. So if it's not going to be deep, it has to be wide, and the
and it actually becomes part of the front yard.
Yeah.
Actually, if it's just
Well, that's in these those types of subdivisions, that's what happens. You really can't tell where one starts and the other stops.
And the lot owner ends up maintaining them.
Yeah, the lot owner maintains it. And
what you have is a typically a 50-foot right-of-way, 20-foot of surface, sometimes 22. So you end up with 28 or 30 foot of right-of-way, and they take the swale, and typically it's sharper cut on the street side and then more sloped on the land side.
I don't know why the utility easement couldn't be in the swale. The swale's never going to be covered up. It has to be impervious.
Right.
So, you know.
Is this on both sides of the road?
Yes.
In this subdivision, was it on both sides or one side?
No, the sidewalk is on one side.
Sidewalk's on one side.
The swales are on both sides of the roads.
The lots are, the question was asked, the lots typically are 180 or 165 deep. That's a typical lot. Some are a little bit more, some are a little bit less, but that's the average.
How many total lots? 38.
38
total.
Mm-hmm. And they're typically, they're probably 160 foot, 150 plus width, which is greater than most because typically they're, once you get in off the public road, that they're 100 in an AR district. So they're actually wider than what's typical. And it'd make nicer square lots instead of elongated.
Yeah, and I can see that. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I don't like the idea, but in this instance, it might be advisable to not have the sidewalks, but I don't care for it, and it's something we should try to address by ordinance in the future, because this is what's going to happen each time. And I don't blame folks for doing this. I don't blame you at all. I mean, believe me, I understand more than you know about, more than you realize what you're up against here. And this is a very efficient and inexpensive alternative to, you know, curb and gutter and pipe and all that stuff, which is quite expensive. So the issue is we need to find a way to deal with this in a way that that satisfies everybody's interest, and right now we're not there yet, I don't think.
Does the letter state that the county engineering department with his comment of the septic field is driving the house 35 feet from the front?
No, they just made, in the county engineering public works letter, it basically states that they have no objection to the elimination of the sidewalk. But it's up to the commission to make that decision.
Yeah, that's the commission's decision, and our criteria is not necessarily the criteria of the engineering department or the soil conservation district. The soil conservation district is never going to fight removing impervious surface because
right.
That's what they're
well,
all about.
I just wonder, you know, if that, yeah. that problem created this problem,
yeah.
which created.
No,
you
know, I think this we've
that's a true heart.
Yeah,
mind.
And I'm not sure how much the septic situation really is driving this or not. I understand what the man's saying, and I'm not sure he wouldn't come here and tell us something he didn't believe. I'm sure he believes that. So,
but how do we go from a final set of plans that shows the roads and the sidewalks and all that? How do we go from that to suddenly?
Well, I think that might be
they're now in the bottom of the swales.
Well, I think that might be the thing to do might be to defer action and go back and actually look at the plan and see how it was designed, because what concerns me about this is that an engineer should have recognized this long before it got here. If this is this much of a problem, that this should not be something that should have just been noticed out in the field. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I don't know what the engineer's intent was,
Greenston.
So that might be the better thing. Let's just maybe we can just defer action, ask to have the plans sent.
Greenston.
Take a look. I'm sorry, say again?
No, Ronnie was asked, Mr. Smith was asking who the engineering firm was. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, who was it?
It was Greenston.
Greenstone Engineering. Mm-hmm.
Sure, they've got a stamp like all the rest of them. So they all
it's
know.
It's a typical cross section of a street. It's something need to be addressed in the ordinance.
I agree.
And
if
it's a requirement, then you specify. We get more specific about the requirement, and it doesn't become an issue that you have to discuss.
Yeah,
it's required. Whenever it's if it's going to be required, and it could be you establish a certain number of lots or a certain size lots, and it reflects on whether they need sidewalk.
I'll point out that I got to go in front of council at some point to talk about those ordinance amendments we talked about. This is one I can add to that list.
Well, I think we should, because we're going to see this kind of thing more, you know, it's going to happen again, and we do have to have a good answer for it. And gentleman like this, this gentleman here, this applicant, needs to have some predictability to the process. He needs to know what's expected, not maybe they will, maybe they won't. And I appreciate that.
But that's, I agree with that, that an applicant should, when they walk in, should know what the requirements are. But once something's been approved and has been signed off by an engineer, then why are we cleaning up their mistakes?
That's a good question.
I don't know if it, I'd have to go back and look at the record. I don't remember if it was proffered or if it was a requirement.
Right.
A lot of cases are proffered, and when they proffer, the commission automatically, and I would too, picks up on
them. Yeah.
That they offered it, so it should be a condition.
Sure.
But we can look at that too.
I think that might be the thing to do, is we can maybe just defer action tonight, and let's go back, look at the minutes, see how it was approved, whose request was it, what the site plan looks like.
I agree, rather than telling them, no, you're stuck, let's give them the
benefit of the research and so on. Let's go back and look at it, and if there's, you know, maybe something will pop out that will make it clear one way or the other.
Is street lighting part of this design?
Pardon me?
Is street lighting?
Yeah, there's street lighting also in there.
Where would they go?
They're going right on the edge of the road, right, and there's like a 3 foot, 4 foot section there that they've got the street lights coming in around the corner there now.
Mr. Gray, if I might ask you a question. I know one of the concerns is with this one gentleman's property and the taking of his property in order to put in the sidewalk. What's on the other side of the street? Is any properties, any houses been built?
No, that's the first house I put in there. That's the only house in there right now. I've got a couple more that's coming up, but.
So if it's a problem for this gentleman, perhaps it could be on the other side of the road.
I think it's probably worth a site visit too. Since there's actually a house there and the road's there, you can actually see and look at it versus what's on the plan. I'm assuming it's built according to the plan. I'm sure that was their intent.
Yeah, it is. The streets, Well, everything is built toward it.
It might be worth taking another look at before we make a decision.
Plus, I believe this is in Mr. Ross's district.
Yep. Actually, it is, and he isn't here this evening, so that's all the more reason to defer action, give him the opportunity to weigh in.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then, based on our discussion tonight concerning subdivision number 2006-14 Gray Properties LLC, request for amended condition, my motion is for deferral to give the commission time for further consideration.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2006-14 Gray Properties LLC Heritage Point Subdivision Amendment Condition Request to give the commission more time to consider the request. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Irene Gray, 3 lots and 50-foot easement on Road 432.
Yes, this is a request to subdivide a 12.12-acre parcel into 3 lots with access from a 50-foot easement. Lots 1 and 2 will each contain 2 acres. The residual land will contain 8.12 acres. The owner is proposing to create the 50-foot easement over an existing roadway. The request can be approved as submitted, or an application for a major subdivision can be required. If the request is approved as submitted, it should be stipulated that any further subdivision of the property will require an application for a major subdivision.
Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning Irene Gray's request for 3 lots and a 50-foot easement off of Road 432, my motion is for approval with the stipulation that any further request to subdivide this property should require a major subdivision application.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve 3 lots and a 50-foot easement on Road 432 for Irene Gray with the stipulation that any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision application. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Gentlemen, that completes our agenda for this evening. Does anyone else have anything for the good of the order? Mr. Lank, you got anything for us?
Just a mag reference, Vince wrote to the council through Dave, I guess.
Yeah.
And council got copied of what we discussed back on June 15th. And they were also provided with a copy of what the Board of Adjustment did that evening, the same day. And we were kind of hoping we could get on the agenda, but we haven't been able to yet. But I understand as of Tuesday, one of the council wants to put it on the agenda. So we should be able to get to the council in the next 2 weeks or so.
Good.
Right. So we can tell them we're in, that the commission is ready to progress on thinking about some ordinances.
We're looking for something to do.
And I can remind them that we really don't have a whole lot of agenda items lately. No public hearing tonight. We have three or four for the two meetings in August each, and I have received two since.
Okay, I will not be here for the second meeting in August, so I would encourage all of you to try to make it if you can, since we're all going to be one short already. So just a little heads up. All right.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lank, regarding the Christopher Lopez, the fellow that was in opposition, basically part of his opposition, he admitted to the commission, yourselves, and everybody on the internet that he was operating without final approval. Has his situation been looked at? Has he been violated?
He's in the process of, well, he was already in violation.
In violation.
He came in violation just as a quite a few of the past conditional uses that we've had. He'd been to Del Dot since the Lopez advertisement went out and trying to work out the entrance so he can correct his situation at the same time. So he's up doing the same thing he was doing when he applied a year or two ago. When I went by and looked at it, you can see trucks are parked in the same place, and he hadn't got final site plan approved, but he's still, he's right at short time either. If the council grants the extension we discussed a few meetings ago about giving them the ordinance that we did, it's been longer than that, probably been a month and a half ago. If we give him 2 more years, then he would be one of the ones that fell into that ordinance. And it seems like he's ready to correct it. He didn't come up to council public hearing when we had the public hearing at council. He did speak here, but he didn't speak at council. So he worked out something with Del Dot, because Mr. Lopez had issue. Remember, our comments were that they weren't going to give him an entrance, and that it was in a level, in a investment level 1 and 2, or it's actually in a level 4.
Yeah.
Or was it in 4, and it's really 1 and 2. I'm sorry.
Two.
I had to revert. And he would have been in the same situation. I think he was stated, his application had the same comment in, I believe. So now it's been corrected because the state's adopted a new strategies map.
All right, anything else to go to the order? We stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevail.
7:15.
Nice.
7:15.
Go light out.